Well, we are almost at the end of 2014. Another year passed us, almost. Getting ready for 2015. Hope we're not looking back with a whole lot of regret or anything. And I'm thinking, what's the song that Elvis sings? He's got many words in it. And I was thinking about that this morning as we talk about looking back and looking ahead. And it was, I did it my way. And it says, and now the end is near. Well, we're getting near the end. I've lived a life that's full. Yeah, most of us have in the last year. We've done things. We've gone places that are amazing. I've traveled each and every highway. Some of us have taken long road trips. Some of us have taken very long road trips to foreign lands. Some of us just here in the community have gone all over the place. And then it says, regrets, I've had a few. I did it my way. Well, my encouragement this year, or in 2015, is that we don't do it our way any longer, but we do it God's way, and then we focus on Him. So New Year's Eve is coming up. We want to celebrate that in moderation, remember. The Bible tells us to celebrate that in moderation. Okay, so let's go have a good time on New Year's Eve. But we want to look forward to the new year, and that's a time when many of us say, I'm going to make some New Year's resolutions. Most of them have to do with our health. I'm going to quit smoking, quit drinking. Some of them have to do with some financial habits. I'm going to quit spending, start saving. We're going to stop things and start things. A few of those have to do with some other things, just bad addictions. I'm going to give up snacking all the time. I'm going to give up chocolate. I'm going to give up this snack food or that, or Coke or Pepsi or Dr. Pepper, and I'm going to drink water. So I just want to do this. As you look at some New Year's resolutions in the upcoming year, and I encourage you to attach some sort of spiritual value to that. Most of the times these are all very self-centered and we want to be healthy, but we want to be healthy because we want to look good. Not because the Bible tells us to take care of our temple and look good in that sense. So I just want to encourage you to attach a spiritual value to those New Year's resolutions you may be thinking about making. We're getting ready to, in just under 2 months, celebrate Ash Wednesday. And Ash Wednesday is the beginning of the Lent season. I'm sorry, it's the beginning of what, Adam? The Lent season. Many of us have heard about that. We've heard about Ash Wednesday. We've heard about Lent. But we don't understand what that is. And Lent starts on Ash Wednesday and ends on Easter Sunday. And it's a 40-day period. A 40-day period of getting our minds clear. And we're trying to clear our minds of what? Well, we're trying to look at different things. Lent is a season of fasting. It's a season of repentance. God's people are still called to repentance. Okay? They're still called to repentance. We're not called just to say, God, I'm sorry, forgive me. That's one thing. But man, repenting is saying, man, God, I'm really sorry. And help me to turn away from this. It's not merely asking for an apology. So Lent is a season of repentance for Christians. It's a season for moderation. The things we do, do them in moderation. Eat, drink, sleep, work. All those things in moderation. But then most importantly, Lent is a season of spiritual discipline. If you have your Bibles, if you would, open them up to John chapter 1. Lent is a season of spiritual discipline. Just let that soak in for a minute as you turn to John chapter 1. And as you're turning to John chapter 1, I'm going to read out of Isaiah chapter 55, and bear with me. This is today's scripture reading, and it is a little longer than normal, but I want you to listen to the words in Isaiah 55, because it's an invitation to the abundant life. And we all need to be partakers of the abundant life. You won't find this word in the Bible many times as the beginning of it. Ho, H-O. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Church, I want to read that again real quick. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy. I think that goes in line with what Eric just read us about, always being sure we're giving to God first. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. Let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know. And nations who do not know you shall run to you. How amazing is that? And I think about that as individuals who do not know you, as we bear witness, they will run to him and they will be drawn to him. Nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. We don't want to say, I did it my way. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. Amen. But it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Let us pray. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. I was re-listening to Eric's message from last week and thought about it when he said it last week about the plain wrapped gift. And we just think, oh, what could that be? It's in a plain wrapper. I thought it, and I thought, here's your gift. Ta-da! Plain brown wrapper, nothing fancy. And God's gift was, I was going to say similar. I don't mean similar to me, and I don't mean to compare myself. I don't mean that. But God's gift came in a plain wrapper. You see, they're saying he's supposed to be born in this area, but surely not in a manger. Oh, and by the way, surely not in those clothes. He should be in some fancy, shiny stuff. Possibly even be born into this great family. But this can't be the Messiah that's come to save us. This thing born in a manger. Christmas Eve, we read from John chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And we read that, and we talked about the gift of Jesus Christ. When you received your Christmas gifts, which I assume we received something maybe from someone, and then it's always, now what do I do with it? Well, for some of those gifts, it's pretty simple. That's food, you eat it. For some, it's drink, you drink it. Then for others, you kind of sit and look at it and say, that's interesting. Now, what do I do with this? And why did you give this to me? And we just kind of hold it and look at it and think, okay. And I know what you guys are thinking already. It's re-gift time. Regifting, I heard on the news, was acceptable so long as you remove all signs of who it was originally given to. Never regift something to the person that gave it to you. I received a regifted gift at work. And I thought, oh, that poor soul left a name to... Oh, thank you for regifting to me. I didn't tell him that, but I thought it. So remove all signs of regifting and who it was to. And we're thinking, I want to regift this. Now, if we take Jesus Christ and that gift and say, God, what do you want me to do with this? When it was given to us for the first time, many of us probably thought, I don't know what to do with this. It's like one of those models or a rocket or something crazy where you have to assemble it. And there's so much work you got to put into it to enjoy it, it seems like. Or worse yet, it's one of those gifts you get and it's like, my gosh, it takes 16 AA batteries. Oh, and we have 1.5 in the house. And we think, what do I do with this thing? But then we get it. In him was life, and life was light of men. Oh, I have the gift of light that was given to me. And that light was made to shine into dark places of my life to reveal things to me. And on Christmas Eve, we talked about that light did two things. It exposed us to God, and it exposed us to our own sin. The second part. Yep. It exposes us to our sin. So we read on in verse 6. And in verse 6, it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. So John was sent from God. It says, this man came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness to that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming in the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So now we find out Jesus is life, Jesus is light. John came by God to witness to that. John said, I'm not the light. I'm not taking credit. I'm not the light. I'm merely sent here to bear witness to that light. Okay. I get that. So now we have the gift of light. And just like John, we are called to bear witness to that light. We're called to bear witness to other people. People who don't know him will be drawn to him by our witness. But there's a good witness and a bad witness. There's a good witness and a bad witness in court as well. Your Honor, I would like to identify them as a hostile witness. We don't want one of those people representing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Anyone watch Saturday Night Live? Debbie Downer. Who wants to be that witness? Well, you know, we're all going to die and condemnation is coming, you know. And it's just, we don't want to be that witness. We want to bear witness to the light that is life. And when we don't walk in that, we don't witness that. And we don't express that. It goes on in verse 14. It says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Thank God for that. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Now you have to think, John was born first, but he was speaking of Jesus Christ, saying he came before me because he was already. He wasn't talking about the physical birth. Now listen closely in verse 16. And of his fullness we have all received. And of his fullness we have all received. And grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Grace was already given to Moses and his people, but they needed more grace. Then Jesus Christ came and he gives us grace on top of grace. Grace is God's favor given to sinful man. And he gives us that and then gives us more of that. Now you've got John running around proclaiming these things. And so what's going to happen next? The Jews send out the priest and the Levite saying, go talk to this Yahoo that's out proclaiming this Messiah. Find out what's going on. Talk to him and get the story. Verse 19 says, now this is a testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, no. Then they said to him, who are you that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. So he didn't proclaim to be the prophet. He did not proclaim to be the Christ. He merely proclaimed to be the voice to bear witness. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And as he did those things, of course, it confused them. And they thought, who exactly is this? What if we go back and tell the people that sent us? And he was repeating out of the book of Isaiah that particular part that said, and a voice will cry in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. So he merely claimed to be that person. Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees. Imagine that, right? And they asked him, saying, why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. So he said, man, I'm just baptizing in water, but there's coming another one after me, and I'm not worthy to loose his straps on his sandals. And then it happened. The one that he's proclaiming. The next day, in verse 29, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. And again in verse 32, it says, and John bore witness saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. Man, how fascinating. God revealed to him, here's what you're going to see. And when this happens, he will baptize. He will baptize others with the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit. Now after that, John says, man, here comes the Lamb of God. I've seen him. This is the one. He's been proclaiming him. And now he sees him. So I thought it was interesting in verse 35. It says, again the next day, John stood with two of his disciples. A lot of times we think disciples are just people that follow Jesus. A disciple is just a common term for followers, students. So John had his own disciples that were following him. And looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, behold the Lamb of God. And his two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and seeing them following said to them, what do you seek? And they said, Rabbi, which is to say teacher, where are you staying? And Jesus said, come and see. So they followed him. And it goes on to tell about Jesus calling his disciples. Just hearing that, and by faith they followed. By faith they believed. As Christ followers, we're called to a certain level of faith and belief, as well as commitment. Jesus went on to call other disciples and to reveal things to them that he would not know unless the Father showed him. And I want to close with two things. In 2 Corinthians, the end of chapter 5, beginning of chapter 6, in verse 20 of 2 Corinthians 5, it says, now then, we as ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We carry that light forward. We bear witness to the Lamb of God. And I know for many of us that light flickers. And we have to do all we can to protect that light. And if somebody's walking with both hands holding that candle and their light is flickering, we need to do all we can to walk up and protect that flame and protect that light. That's why fellowship in the body is so important. Because when you're out there just holding that thing up, in the wind, there's nothing and no one to stand beside you and protect you. And in this church, in this fellowship, there should be somebody to stand beside you and protect you and keep that flame lit. Now it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we then as workers together with him, with Jesus Christ that is, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. God has given us grace. And then he has given us more grace. And we do not want to take and receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you. And in the day of salvation I have helped you. And then he says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today is the day. We can't set these New Year's resolutions up and not expect there to be trouble in our path. We can't expect to set up these goals for ourselves without the enemy attacking us. hoping that snow and ice falling off. We have to be watchful. And we have to be watchful of each other. And in 2015, let's make our goals spiritually related. It can still be health. It can still be activities, financial. But you know, the Bible has all kinds of stuff in there about health, about our finances. And when we connect it to that, and when we share that with somebody else, we have accountability. And we have someone that will help us, and someone that will come up beside us and protect that flame. But the most important thing that we can do, as Christ followers, as ambassadors of Christ, is bear witness to the light and the life that we were given in our gift of Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful and so grateful for the gift you've given us and your Son, Jesus Christ. And God, as we look around, Christmas is over here. The gift giving, the decorations, it's time to put those away. But God, help us to keep the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, up front on a centerpiece in our life each and every day going forward. Not to put him away. Not to put that gift away. Help us, Lord, as we go into 2015. Help us look back. Not with any regrets. But Lord, just a different perspective. Help us look forward. Not with any worries, but with expectation. And with hope. God, help us come together for fellowship and accountability. To lift one another up. To hold each other up. To hold each other accountable. And God, as we go out, help us to bear witness to your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to be light and salt to those we come in contact with. God, that our actions, our words to one another, Lord, that they're not done in spite, that they're not done in anger, that they're not done in hatred, but our words to one another, Lord, before we speak them, we take time to think what it will do to those that receive our words. Help change our heart where our words are hurtful. Help change our mindset when we think something needs to be said. Help us to seek out your word more diligently each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.